For this episode only, we apologize up front for the audio aggravation. There was an unexplained electrical interference within the storefront at the mall in which our studio is located.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis. I spent many years just down the road playing rock and roll along the lakefront in Chicago at WLS Music Radio. This year's a banner year for radio centennials. That's why I'm happy to wish my brothers and sisters in radio a heartfelt 100th anniversary at 1440 WROK in Rockford, Illinois. Sometimes people just need a really good reason to get back together and enjoy each other. This is one of those occasions. Getting behind the microphone again and sharing those seldom told tales is a special feeling these folks didn't want to pass up. The studio is filled with decades of photos, bumper stickers, buttons, albums, t-shirts, jackets, original signs, and well-deserved industry awards. Here's to WROK's 100 years of broadcasting in Northern Illinois and Southern Wisconsin. And now, more radio stories between old friends on another episode of the Storyteller Studio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Storyteller Studio. Tonight, we have Amy Cox-Yagle and Sandy Engstrom-Dingus. And these girls going to be entertaining.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
Here we go. Yeah, and see, and since we're not used to being on, you know, air.
We're behind the headphones.
Yes. So, well, maybe I'll toss you a question, and then so when did you come to the radio station?
Well, I was a communication student at Eastern Illinois, and they said that it would be great to get internships and, you know, experience. And I was in communications, so I contacted ROKZOK out of the blue and asked about an internship program, which they didn't really have one. I don't know how it all happened, but I ended up at ROKZOK. The summer of 85 was before my last year of college, and I was there with Jesse Garcia, and we were, I guess, the first official interns that ROKZOK ever had, which was pretty interesting. I would have thought with that kind of a radio station, they'd had interns before, but.
Exactly. So did they have set things for you to do, or did they just kind of come up with it as they thought of it?
Well, you were kind of whatever slave labor they needed at the moment. So I laid a lot of electrical wiring, and I remember the Rock River Raft Race the first year, and we were there at 7 a.m., Jesse Garcia and I, and I think Jack Lambiot.
Oh, my gosh.
And we were out there laying all the cords and all the wiring that they were going to need, and, you know, and it started at 7 a.m., and I think we were driving in the van in the parade for the 4th of July at 7 o'clock at night, so it was a pretty full day. But,
welcome to grunt work.
Yes. Yeah, so, and then Magic Waters, that was the first year they had opened up, so I had a killer tan.
Oh.
Because we were there every Wednesday and Saturday, I think, for promotions.
Really?
Yeah, every Wednesday night and Saturday. So, yeah, so, right.
Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it was called?
Yeah, I was there all the time.
Oh, that's kind of a nice gig. I like that. I miss that part.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, because you told me about the internship, because Amy and I went to Rock Valley together. You had shared with me about the internship program, maybe, and I'm a year younger, so I don't know. I said something to you about, oh, I'm looking for a job or something like that. And you said,
we probably ran into each other in Beloit or something.
Lake Club.
You were very much like that.
but you by default like what you just said?
Yeah. I was dragged there kicking and screaming.
Yeah, you were the designated driver.
Yes.
Not.
I was the mom. I had to be the mom.
Yeah,
but that's other stories.
Yeah, yeah. That's for another time. So I don't remember much. I already had a job for the summer at Rock Cut State Park, which is where I was this summer before. And I just remember the superintendent, Jeff Carr, was really angry that I was going to leave for this internship at, you know, ROKZOK. I think he even called the station up to say something. And I'm like, you know, look, dude, this is, you know, my major was speech communication. You know, this is a stepping stone for where I think I want to go. And so, yeah, he just was mad. But I started there. I was with Jeff Ekberg. Mm-hmm. And then Stan, he changed his name in the middle of things because he really loved his stepfather. And his stepfather wanted to adopt him. And so he changed his name, and I can't remember it for the life of me. The end of it is like Hoffer, something Hoffer. And I can't remember what it was. But we had a lot of fun. And so, I mean, we'd kind of, you know, yeah, like you said, we were the grunts of whoever's whim, you know, needed us or whatever. But this is a story I remember one time was I was out with Steve Summers. I don't even know where we were at. But he wanted to go golfing afterwards. I'm like, no, I can't go golfing. I'm working. He goes, no, you're with me. It's okay. I don't want to get fired. I just, my first job out of college. And so I'd never been golfing. So that was, I think, a challenge for him so that he's like, no, you got to come. And I couldn't even golf because I was so upset and nervous about being there when I knew I should be back at the station. And sure enough, the operations manager at the time, Steve Brill, he was ticked when I got back. Where have you been? Who have you been with? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, whoever I go with is my boss at that moment. You know what I mean? And that's the way I kind of viewed it. Mm-hmm. So if they said, do this, do that, this is what I'm doing. And so I didn't have an extra car. We didn't have cell phones back then. It was, you know, I would have had to go to the clubhouse and make a call. And Steve wasn't going to let me do that because he wanted me on the golf course.
Well, you work for Brill.
Yeah.
I came in under Kipper McGee.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah, Steve Brill and I can't think of his name, but those two were kind of together. So that's kind of what I remember. But David Salisbury was still there.
Yep, David and Vern.
Vern was still there in charge. Ron Galina.
John Nolte.
Yep. John actually wasn't, I don't think he was around much that I remember. Maybe he was. Maybe
well,
he was.
When did Vernon retire? Because
yeah.
I remember him when I started in the front office.
Oh, yeah.
So we both interned, and then we both ended up getting hired.
Right. Yeah. So
I put my supermodel career on a hold. What are you saying? I have a face for radio? I'm going to drink now.
Make sure it has alcohol. Yeah, I did. And I started right as my internship was ending is when I don't even remember who came to me. Was it Rick Carner? I think Rick Carner came to me and said, you know, would you because I did have some writing background, you know, would you like to be a copywriter in the copy? And I'm like, well, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. So I went in for...
Yeah, you were in a really fun group.
Yeah.
I remember that. I'd go back and you guys were always laughing. It was Rick Carner.
Oh, gosh.
And then Tom Moss.
Yeah, Tom Moss. So I think, how did that happen? I think they were... Because it was Rick, Tom, Heather, and myself. And then Rick left and Tom took his position, became the boss. Rick was a hoot. Oh, my gosh. Just naturally funny. Oh,
well, we
gosh.
Were both on the softball team, ROK, ZOK, All-Stars.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because I'd never played softball in my life. And it's like, I was the catcher and you were the pitcher?
Yes. So, I do remember that, yeah.
I mean, I could barely throw.
Yeah, you're good enough to be on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did have you start to have a little fun with it.
Yes, so you did.
I was playing... the dumb bimbo. I'm being really specific for Tim, but I'm playing the dumb bimbo. I would go up to bat, which I couldn't bat. I never played softball. And so I would put the bat down and I would flirt with the umpire and I'd say, can I have a walk, please? And then he'd say, sure. And it was all for charity anyway. Yeah. So, and then I'd bring out a nail file and I'd file my nails while they finished pitching out. And he'd give me all the four balls. So I'd walk to the front base and, first base, front base.
Front base. That
See,
tells you how
I
much
never
he knows.
Played softball. But, yeah. And then the guys would come out of the dugout. They started doing that and they all walk me down to first base.
I remember that. Yeah, that was funny. Oh my gosh.
It was just fun. And then of course I had to actually run if we got a hit or something, but
I just remember Rick Kerner giving me, he had taken a grapefruit and painted it white to look like a softball, and then came out to the mound to, you know, talk to me to, you know, and he just switched them out so no one could see. And I thought, oh, geez, I got to get this, you know, make sure I get this over the plate properly so the person swings at it. Because otherwise, it's, you know, yeah, you were catching, you could have gotten it. And but thankfully, it was a good pitch, and the person. It just smashed all over. It was really good. It was pretty funny.
But it was a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. You have a Rick story from softball, don't you?
Yeah, I just remember somebody hit a real high fly ball, and he was in the outfield, and he came running in. He was fast.
Yeah.
He came running in, and then at the last minute, he takes his cap off and catches the ball in his cap. And everybody just started rolling because it was just – and then he did – I think he did a forward flip – and came up, you
oh
know,
my
he just,
gosh. Oh
he
my
was
gosh.
Such a showman. I loved him. He was so funny.
Yeah, he was great at sports.
I shouldn't say
sure.
that like his past tense.
He's, yes, he's still
he
among
was
us.
Funny. Too well, bad he never made it in radio.
Oh my gosh. I remember too, I think it was that same game that he had switched out the softball for the grapefruit, and Tim Larson came in a helicopter. I don't remember why, though. I don't know what that was about. It was some promotion, and there were two fields together, and the helicopter landed in the one field just right next to where we were. And, you know, it was a big thing, got out of the helicopter and, you know, whooped it up and everything. But I don't remember why that happened. Somebody somewhere made a, you know, great promotion out of it and had a lot of fun. So yeah.
Another funny story from the softball was when I played the dumb bimbo gig, yeah. And I got, you know, and the game was over. And I think there was a bar or something at that softball field. Oh. So I was in making a phone call, and I came out, and this one guy asked me out. And I was like, who exactly are you asking out? Are you asking out the dumb bimbo that was on the softball field? Are you asking out me, Amy?
That you don't know.
That I'm yeah. like, that really I'm not a dumb bimbo. I just play one.
For the softball team.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all.
Because it's all for fun.
Yeah. I had an interesting, because of the softball team, I still remember, you know, continuity was at one end of the building and, of course, the front office where you and some other, and Linda Slissler, that's where she was. She calls over the overhead, Sandy Engstrom to the front office. And I thought, oh, what have I done? Oh, my gosh. I never get called to the front office. And so I'm like, okay, I hope this is a joke of some sort. But so I went up to the front office, and there was this huge bouquet of beautiful flowers. And she goes, these just came for you. I looked at her like, no. I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. That's got to be a mistake. She goes, no, look, she'd already read the card, which was hilarious. It was a secret admirer from the softball games. And I'm like, no, who did this, really? Come on. Well, no. Then he contacted me again. He called the station a couple of times, you know, kind of brushed him off. But
we had fans. Yeah, we had groupies.
Yeah, we learned what it was like to be on the air and have groupies. Yeah, I had fun with my one groupie.
Yeah, I had one groupie too.
At least we got to experience.
Maybe it was the same guy. I don't know. Just had a thing for blondes.
Yeah, that would have been pretty funny. Yeah, that would have been pretty hilarious, actually. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you never really worked with Vern Nolte. I worked with Vern Nolte.
I remember when I got hired, everybody had to go into Vern's office to meet him and talk with him. And kind of have a little whatever, just a meet and greet. And that's really all I knew of him. He, you know, again, he was in the front. I was in the back always. So, you know, didn't run into him too much.
I think it was his birthday or something. And I think Riley O'Neill brought him a grass skirt and like a coconut bra. You know, because Riley's always very serious about everything. So it was something else to see. Fortunately, Vern had all his clothes on. But he put the grass skirt on over his pants, and I swear it was there was a coconut bra, and he put it on. He was a good sport, and he was, you know, dancing around, and oh. If only we had, like, phones with video at
yes,
that time.
Yes, oh, gosh, that would have been precious right now, wouldn't it have been?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I also remember just giving people, especially you and me together, giving people crap. Poor Chuck. Poor Chuck Doyle.
Yeah, where is Chuck? He's probably afraid. Where is he? Sucking his thumb somewhere under, under his bed.
Oh, God, those two are coming in? No.
But we're just supposed to talk WROK.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Not ZOK. But we did have lots of fun at that break table. That's all
yes.
I remember.
Yes.
I still remember. Oh, this is so stupid. I don't even know if I want to bring it up. So the night before I started for the real job, we were at the main event. You probably were there, I'm thinking. You were party to that problem, I bet, anyhow.
Probably.
Oh, my
maybe.
Gosh. And my brother was in town, and a lot of people were there. I think it was you and Chris and Lori and me and my friend. And you know what I mean? Our girl groups. And somebody kept buying me shots of Wild Turkey.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, my
God. Your brother.
Yeah, I maybe, because... It was bad. I was so drunk. I just remember, and this is long before, you know, you worried about drunk driving and all that. Although I did, and I remember calling my mom. I couldn't call my mom. She was out of town for a class reunion. I called somebody else to try to come get. Nobody was available to drive me home. So I drove home, and I just remember driving as slow as I could possibly go. And then I was hungover on my first day of work. So here I am running to the bathroom.
That's your brother's fault. I would have had no party to that.
That's right. The mom. Yes, yes. That's right. The mom.
Because I would have had to work the next day, too.
Yeah. So I just remember just having to run in the bathroom, and I was so embarrassed about the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, that was really stupid, but is what it is. I lived through it, at least. So.
Yeah, I remember the break table. We had that. We had a lot of laughs at that break table.
Yeah, we did, because people would come through, and we'd just unleash on them. You would unleash and I would help.
Mm-hmm. Riley O'Neill told me I wasn't funny.
Oh!
It obviously crushed my soul.
Yes, I can tell it's hurt you all these years.
Yeah. My life was kind of done at that point.
Oh my gosh, yeah. All the characters at that, between salespeople, and it was a lot of fun. I do remember, do you remember Gene Hendricks?
Yes.
And the ROK sales? Somehow, I did cut some commercials. I ended up cutting, and weirdly enough, so one of them was his customer, and I still remember the name of it. It was Cashman Investigations. And I cut the commercial, and I still remember him coming to my desk, sitting on the corner, and just kind of like shaking his head. Well, you have too deep of a voice for this commercial. Okay, and what does the customer want? Do they want me to, they want someone else? That's, what do I care? You know, it didn't matter to me. And no, they actually, he ended up talking, you know, taking the cassette to them and talking to them about it. And they loved it. So it's funny because Tim and I.
Because it's a deep, sexy voice.
Yes, Cashman Investigations.
Yes. You've probably been investigated.
Just a time or two, but we'll save that for another time too. But it's funny because Tim and I
good thing time's short.
Tim and I just found that cassette. He had actually, thank God, no wonder. I mean, he's got all the stuff here in the studio that he kept too. He kept all those reel-to-reels with even my commercials on them. So it sounds like I'm 12. It's so hilarious to listen to a. You don't think your voice changes that much over the years.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see, you know, what I sound like here.
Oh, yeah. It was weird. And I remember we said, I played that for Eric, our son. And he looked at me, he goes, oh my gosh, that is not you. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I sound like a little kid, don't I? And he's like, yeah, holy cow. So yeah, it's amazing. So I can only imagine how deep my voice will get by the time I'm 80. If it keeps going downhill.
Some problems are bigger than all of us. Where do you go for help? Who do you trust? Turn to Cashman Investigations. They're professional, confidential, responsible. Cashman Investigations, 968-1112, has a reputation you can count on for the most serious cases, like finding a missing person or a child custody case. They're so dependable that many of Rockford's leading lawyers use them. Cashman Investigations is an agency for every working person. When you need in-depth investigation, look to Rockford's only licensed full-time investigators. Cashman Investigations, 968-1112.
But I remember some other commercials that we did with, I did with Rick Karner too, and just had lots of fun because, of course, he was doing character voices and stuff like that on them. And just, oh gosh, it was a really fun time with all that group.
Well, I remember there were some salesmen that were coming back from lunch, and I was up front answering the phones because Vicki Sinkowicz was on lunch or whatever. So I was working the front desk, and it was like Ron Galina and Phil Davidson and Dave Felker, Gene Hendricks, and Dean Irvin, I believe. Mm-hmm. They all came back from lunch together. And so we were like, well, any messages? And I said, well, there's one here for Dean. There's one here for, you know, Ron. And then I said, and Chuckles here, because Gene Hendricks always looked so crabby.
Yes.
He always looked like somebody had... like peed on his cornflakes.
Yeah, grumpy cat.
Always looked grumpy. And so I said, and Chuckles here has a has a message. Dean Irvin about died. I mean, I think he's... And Dave Felker started laughing and couldn't stop laughing. And after that point, Gene Hendricks and I were really close. I mean,
that's
funny. At the next Christmas party, he's like, I want you to meet my wife, you know?
That says a lot. That
so
says a lot.
It was like, but he totally, his personality changed. It was like, all of a sudden, it was like, you know, we were buddies.
Yeah.
But he always looked like Mr. Grumpy Cat.
It's so true, though. That's so funny. Yeah. I wish I'd had a moment like that with him. No, I just got the too low of a voice. And I'm like, aw, come on, dude. Don't be mean.
And I'm sure we got to have some Dean Irvin stories.
Oh, my gosh. We should, shouldn't we? Dean was the only one that knew that Tim and I were dating. So, because that was a big no-no. I remember that was one of the first things that Dave Salisbury, because I went into, you know, did the meet and greet with Vern, and then you had to go in to, I guess, talk to Dave. In that conversation was, there's no fraternizing with the other coworkers. Like, you know, there's no dating. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Apparently they never went to any of the wine sucks.
And isn't that how Ron Galita and...
Anybody remember the wine sucks?
I missed all them somehow.
Yeah.
I didn't get to one. I think that stinks. How did I get left out?
You're an idiot.
Oh, that's really mean.
It was in the front office.
Yeah, we were... Yeah, the people in the rear were not allowed.
It was... Well, I know... Well, Tom Moss would come to every
did he?
Once in
okay.
a while. Yeah.
Well, oh gosh, you bring up Tom. He was a good boss. Oh my gosh,
he was hilarious.
Yeah, he was hilarious. Well, he had a couple of cats, and since I was an animal lover, and he was going out of town, he's like, "Can you come over and you know check on my cats for me?" So I said, "Absolutely." He had a cat that would lick the coating off his bedpost. And he said he would lick pictures, like Polaroids. I'm like, what? Such a weird cat. And I thought it was so odd. He had, under his sink was where the cat box was. So he'd leave the cabinet door open to under his sink because then the cat would jump up in the cabinet. I thought that was a really odd place for a cat box in your kitchen. Ew. So one of the things I do kind of remember, I don't have a lot of details about it, is that we had an animal psychic come ROK. I think it was on Tim's shift. And so they had anybody that had pets to come in the studio. And I remember Tom was there and Riley O'Neill was there. The gal blew Tom away with, she knew that the cat licked the bedpost and licked these pictures. It was just freaky how she knew this stuff. And they didn't bring their animals in. It was just what she apparently got from the person. And Riley's, the one I remember with Riley was he had a dog and there was a dog next door, and the psychic said that Riley would give his dog a special treat. And so, you know, Riley was really good about not saying what that was, you know, to give it away to her. And she said, it's actually a hot dog. You would give part of the hot dog to your own dog, and you'd give part of it to the dog next door. And your dog and that dog were best friends. And oh my gosh, if you could hear people who talk on the radio for a living, not speaking at all. I mean, they were just speechless. It was pretty on point with this gal. And I want to say she was from Pecatonica, but she had made it big time. Like, she lived in New York at the time, and she was back home, and they found out about it, and they brought her in. But just phenomenal. And Manny Oliveira, remember? Mm-hmm. Am I saying it right? Manny Oliveira.
The king in his court.
Yeah. He was good friends with Riley. And he was in, and there was something with his animal that was really, that she just nailed, that there's just no way she should know. There's just, you know. So I just remember that was kind of a big thing. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because you couldn't tell that you gave the dog a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Yeah. You know, how do you tell? Give that away.
Yeah, and the dog next door. Yeah. That's so bizarre. One of the things you had asked me about was who for me that I gave copy to, that I could give copy to, and they would just do a phenomenal job. And I just remember Doug Grant on ZOK. Oh, he was phenomenal. I knew when I gave him, if I needed something really sharp and really high energy, and he was the go-to guy. He would be the one that would add all the, you know, the lasers and the really cool sounds, and he just brought it. He was just amazing with copy that I could give him. I was just so impressed every time. I'd love to give him everything if I could. I'm like, that doesn't work, but
I always remember too when Al Grace would come in for his peanut sale commercials, and everybody would just be dying laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody would come out of the booth laughing.
Yeah.
It just was, because
when you saw him coming through the building, you knew it was the annual peanut sale.
He was such a nice guy. I mean, super nice guy. But, oh my God.
Yeah.
His peanut sale was, Jack Lambiot. We got to have a lot of Jack Lambiot stories. I mean, God, he was hilarious. He should have been on air too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he was an engineer.
Right. Yeah. And Marv Beasley.
Marv
Beasley and Jack. That's who I remember being the engineers while I was there.
Well, Marv was like really deep, right? I mean, like, it's hard to describe.
Very philosophical.
Philosophical. Yes that's the great word. And then there was Jack.
Yeah.
And Jack was just, you know, shoot from his hip and
Have a
good time.
And yeah. Very funny, though. Yeah.
Very funny guy.
Yeah. So what have you been doing?
Oh, since Riley crushed my soul?
Yes.
No stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
She went right to Comedy Central.
Yeah, exactly. Life over. Well, in Rockford, you had so many choices as a female. You know, it's like a wife, a secretary, a nurse, or a teacher. So, I mean, that was your options, and it was like we were stuck in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I finally got into like a purchasing role, which, of course, shopping. Hello.
Yeah.
And then that led into like what I'd call a project manager position, and I worked at Motorola for 11 years. And
yeah, you launched the Razr, didn't you?
Yeah, I launched the Razr.
Favorite
phone. It was a great company to work for. And man, everybody's been looking for that since.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't find that, you know, it was just a great company. Yeah. They didn't care that I was a blonde female with built. And
as long as you could do your job.
Yeah. They didn't care I was a dumb bimbo on the baseball field. They just
didn't know how to hit
they
them
just
all.
Wanted me to do my job. And they, you know.
That's funny. And you're still doing that now, right? You're still project, sort of like project management.
Yeah.
So
I work for Kerry now, Kerry Foods. Oh, and Beloit. And I hope they don't hear this. Because they'll be like, Amy, you're not funny.
Well, they would be wrong. That's all there is to that.
Well, you laugh at everything. That's why I go everywhere with
only
you.
If it's only if it warrants it. God.
Oh, I like hanging out with you. You laugh at all my jokes.
your one-woman audience? Is that
yeah,
what it
exactly.
Is?
My fan.
See, you have another groupie. It all comes, it circles back all around, doesn't it? Oh my gosh.
Well, you went.
I did advertising agency after ROKZOK because that was, I thought, that's where I thought I wanted to go. And then, you know, and then Tim and I, of course, we had, we started dating back when you weren't supposed to while we were working together. So
rule breakers.
Yeah, I know. They weren't going to keep us apart. So then Tim went into promotion. He was promotions director at ROK. And then when we were gone from the station, he went to a imprinted promotional company. Well, after about 6 months, you know, he talked to the other top salesman there. And it's like, oh, my gosh, we can do this so much better. You know, where they were at was just very unorganized and everything. They're like, we can just do this better. So that was when we started talking about creating a company. And so he and the partner started that. I didn't start with them immediately. That was 1987. I went to go work for the Phantom Regiment Drum and Bugle Corps in development and fundraising and PR. And then I went to go work for Skyward Promotions in, I think it was 89. I think it was before we got married. We got married in March of 90. We did that for 30 years. And then I've landed here at Edgebrook Mall, which is where the Storyteller's Studio is housed. So I'm doing marketing for the mall for the Orpit Companies. It's a real estate development company, but they own Edgebrook and a couple other properties I do the marketing for. So,
the ironic thing about working at Cary is I have been 100% working from home. And they're always like, well, why don't you come into the office? And I'm like, no, because I'll probably get fired. Because I'm so used to being able to look like, oh, my God, what is going on? I mean, because, you know, I'm not on the Zoom call.
Yeah, yeah.
We have an image of us that I use from an old Facebook look. You know, look how young I look.
Yeah.
And
they'll think you're a stranger trying to take over Amy's position.
Yeah, and they're always like, put your camera on. I'm like, no, because I'll get fired. Because I'll roll my eyes at the wrong time. Or
I just said that to Tim the other day. Somebody was talking to me, and I said, I'm really fearful that my face was really making the wrong, you know, facial expressions. Because, like, I really think I'm going to be in trouble for this because it was not doing what I was really wanting it to do.
Yeah, I don't suffer fools gladly, obviously, in my face.
I mean, oh, that's pretty funny. Oh, my gosh.
So Sandy and I have maintained our friendship from the Rock Valley days, which is really bizarre if you think about it. But we lived parallel lives a lot.
Yeah.
So when we were going through job changes and job issues, we were very similar. So every once in a while, we'd fall out of, like, keeping in touch, you know, and then the world comes spinning back around, and then I'm like, I got to get Sandy back in my life because I need that one person that laughs at my jokes. And I think we're cosmic twins or something.
Yes.
So we just keep coming back into each other's lives. And so we worked out together at Windsor Athletic Club.
Oh, And back in the 80s.
Yeah, back. And then, and that was always 90s. Fun.
Yeah. We had a good time there.
We had a lot of fun there. And then, so now, to get us back in shape, because we're both, you know, getting older and getting flabbier. And so Sandy comes to my house twice a week, and we work out together, and we commiserate on our jobs or whatever it is that's going on. And then
we laugh about our days at ROKZOK.
Yeah. No. We laugh a lot about Chuck. You know,
Poor Chuck. Chuck comes
back. Because we don't really mean to be mean to Chuck. I don't know what. It's just, it happens.
He just made it too easy.
I'm so sorry, Chuck. I'm so sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, he just made it too easy. When he just walking through the threshold by the break room was enough to. And he would hang around for that abuse. So, I don't know what that says exactly.
Yeah,
so.
He wanted to go to lunch and stuff. It's like, this doesn't change, you know.
We don't become nicer just because you feed us.
Note to people out there, yeah. Our groupie. But this has been fun, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It was been fun even catching up.
Even though we see each other all the time. But we don't usually have headphones
and
microphone in our face.
Yeah,
which is unusual.
Now we've got this for forever and ever.
Oh, friends forever and ever.
Yes. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Storyteller's Studio in celebration of WROK Radio's 100th year in broadcasting.